News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
If you were listening a little bit earlier on, you will have heard us talking to Mark Weiss, the Irish Times Israel correspondent, giving us his analysis of the situation in the Strait of Hormuz and the wider implications in the Middle East, and saying that the sense on the ground in Israel from where he was reporting is that the likelihood is that we are going to return to conflict in the Middle East because of the way the blockades are going and because of the way the negotiations are going. The US, of course, now saying that it's going to blockade the Strait of Hormuz and blockade Iranian ports. Iran saying that they are going to sink US naval vessels. With us is Duncan Bullivant, who is CEO of the Henderson Risk Group and a former British Army officer and former UK diplomat. Duncan, if all of this is designed to get the Strait functioning again as a navigable waterway for trade and oil to pass through, how does blockading it further that objective?
The US blockade, of course, is a direct chess move to try and counter the Iranian blockade. We shouldn't look at this in terms of the rule of law, and we certainly shouldn't look at this in terms of normality. This is effectively like it's a bit like West Side Story. It's gangsterism on a high scale, both in terms of the Iranians, who are behaving in an inappropriate and unacceptable manner, and now the United States, who seem to be reflecting that type of behavior. But of course, the real victims in all of this, the people that are going to suffer the most economic damage, are actually going to be the Chinese. Don't forget, 90% of the oil that's coming out of Iran is going to China. And what we're actually seeing, and this is in many ways maybe where the United States has a point, is that the US is now picking up on the shadow fleet, on a lot of vessels that are moving oil illegally, against international law, to China. I mean, at the moment, they're tracking a vessel called the Rich Starry, which claims to be flagged in Malawi, and Malawi has no ship's register. So there's all sorts of shenanigans going on here, but it is brinkmanship. The United States hasn't got the result it wanted out of Iran just yet. They say they're going to keep talking, but I suspect that the Israeli commentators and the view of the Israelis is probably closer to the truth. I think there's an inevitability that there will be a return to conflict in the next couple of weeks.
And is that because the kind of the acts required to deliver the blockade are likely to bring them into direct conflict, and that'll be a flashpoint, or just that it is impossible to negotiate with this level of mutual hostility?
The blockade will only work if the United States boards and seizes vessels that it perceives to have been going into or out of Iranian ports, or it perceives are actually paying the extortion fees. And I think we need to be very clear on this. You know, the fees that Iran is trying to extract from vessels, which, you know, everybody's talking about $2 million a transit. It actually works out at about a dollar per barrel of oil, if that's what they're carrying. It is in itself illegal. It's extortion. So two wrongs don't make a right. But the only way the United States imposes this blockade is by physically taking control of vessels, which it perceives to be in violation of its newly imposed blockade. So it will inevitably lead to some form of conflict. Whether the Chinese want to ramp it up at this point remains to be seen. I suspect that the Chinese will sit and wait and see. The other thing to bear in mind is that the direct impact of this on China is a way off yet. There's about 160 million barrels of oil on the high seas at the moment out of Iran. The Iranians supply 1.8 million barrels of oil a day to China. So they've still got reserves that the Americans can't get their hands on. But by the middle of June, July, that's when China's supply of oil from Iran starts having a dramatic impact on its economy. So there's a way to go, but I think the clock is ticking.
And lastly, Duncan, what then about the negotiations? Because 21 hours of conversation followed by walking out in what appeared to be a bit of a huff and accusing the other side of economic terrorism, you would have thought it might progress slightly more positively than that.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Everybody loves to bandy this thing, taco. You know, Trump always chickens out. That's, you know, it's the great sort of vibe, especially amongst the sort of the more left-leaning commentators in the world. But actually, the Iranians over the last couple of decades have been so used to Western negotiators backing down or giving them favorable terms or not quite delivering, especially when it comes to their nuclear enrichment program, that I think that for the first time ever, they've come across an adversary across the negotiating table. And Vance, of course, is you know, sort of very much in the Trumpian mold. You know, they've come across a group of people who aren't actually interested in a settlement that sees Iran carrying on as if it was business as normal. So I think that's the rub here. The Iranians are claiming that they've, that, you know, some sort of victory in their negotiations. But I think the United States, who have, in their defense, said that the door remains open and that negotiations can continue. The Americans have put lines down, very clear lines, one of which is absolutely no more nuclear enrichment. Give us the material that you've already enriched, and you will never have an atomic weapon. You know, these are clear issues that I think this administration now has to put its hat on, because that justifies, in many ways, justifies their engagement. But the midterms are coming up. You know, by November, this needs to be wrapped up. You know, the MAGA movement are not happy. Trump's under pressure domestically. So, yeah, I think there may well be a return to some form of hostility to push the point with the Iranians, but they will be looking at the US political calendar as much as the rest of us. And so we'll see where things go over the next six to 8 weeks.
Duncan, thank you very much. Duncan Bullivan, CEO of Henderson Risk Group. 53106 if you want to get in touch, or 087-1400-106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.